I'm your host, Aaron Rittmaster. Welcome to the Man Cave, where joining me tonight to record Diz Dad podcast number 328 for September 13th, 2015 are Brad Coates.
Hello, everybody.
And Tony McDaniel.
Hey, how's it going?
Now, tonight we're going to continue our somewhat irregular series on advanced planning for a Walt Disney World vacation, looking ahead this time to a spring vacation at Walt Disney World. But before we get to that discussion, I want to take a moment to introduce you to Diz Dad's podcast's new sponsor, me. After 4 years as an independent contractor travel agent with another agency, I've decided to strike out on my own. And my new travel agency, Fantastic Memories Travel, and its subsidiary, Mousemaster Travel, will be our new show sponsor. So if you'd like me to help take care of the stressful parts of vacation planning so that you can focus on the fun, just send me an email at aaron@fantasticmemoriestravel.com, and we'll get you rolling. Okay, guys. On to the subject at hand, spring travel to Walt Disney World. We are just now about at that sort of magic six-month mark that we tell people to be aware of when they're planning for a Walt Disney World vacation, because there's a lot of things about Walt Disney World that first become available and you need to be ready for at 180 days out, biggest being advanced dining reservations. So let's talk a little bit about sort of things to keep in mind when planning for a spring vacation, because as of right now, we're already at 180 days into the second week of March, which is right really at the beginning of springtime. So the first thing is that, we used to tell people to be ready to jump with their travel plans in the summer, because we used to get ticket price increases that would come out in June. And so we try and get people to, book their trips before that increase came in. But the recent trend has been a little different. That ticket price increase has kicked in considerably earlier in the calendar year, and it's changed the cycle a little bit. So, Brad, have you noticed where that change has kicked in?
I believe the last 2 years they did it in February, wasn't it?
Yeah, we've had increases in February 2 years in a row, and at least, I don't know, my experience, I don't know about you guys, but my experience has been that in most cases, I found people who saved almost as much money by booking a trip early as did waiting and booking, after a discount offer was released that would cover the trip dates. Because the problem is that if a discount offer comes out after a price increase, when you apply that discount, you end up having to pay the increased price that's being charged for the tickets or for the room if the room rate has gone up as well.
Yeah, and the discount that usually comes this time of year is usually like the 20, 25, 30%, depending upon what grade of resort you're in. So it does save money, but yeah, that ticket jump, when you talk about a family of four, that can add up fast if you're staying, five to 7 days.
Yeah, it really does kind of eat into any savings you might have gotten out of a discount offer. So I guess what I'm saying is, I hear people all the time saying, yeah, we're going to take a spring break trip, but, we'll wait and we'll book it, after a discount offer comes out, or we'll book it, when we have a better idea of what my work schedule is going to be or something like that. And I caution people that, when you do that, you're playing catch up, really, especially now that those discount or especially now that those price increases are appear to be coming out in February. Now, I can't guarantee you that we're going to get an increase again in February, but I'd be surprised if we didn't get one, especially after all those D23 announcements.
You got to pay for it somehow.
Exactly. Yep. Exactly. Okay, so we want people to book as far in advance as possible here, to get to that 180-day advance before ticket prices kick up. But obviously the question is still, when in March are the best times to travel? So I've got a few notes here about, crowd levels, expectations in March. And it seems to me, spring has gotten maybe much like, October has become much busier of late. It seems to me that there are periods of the spring that have gotten really busy lately.
Yeah, you know, well, one of the things that's if you notice the trend over the years is when it comes to spring break, you got the three key things that are different that create the problem. When are spring breaks in schools, which is usually that mid to late March, if they're not doing the Easter week, and then when is Easter? If Easter's later, like late in April, then there can kind of be a lull for at least like 1 week in March where it'll go back down and then it come back up. But this year, with it being in the end of March, basically it takes off after the first week and it just stays out the roof until March is done. I mean, so they kind of wrap into each other. And now with Flower and Garden gaining a little more, I think it's gaining more momentum over that it has there for several years. It's starting to create a little bit more buzz too, I think.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, you know, Flower and Garden is expected. We don't have official dates yet, but the festival is supposed to open. If it opens when we expect, it'll open March 2nd, which is right at the beginning of March. And, you know, the predictions that I see still suggest that crowd levels for those first few days of March are, you know, really moderate. I mean, we're talking crowd levels that are at 6 out of 10 or less for those first 5 days. And then all of a sudden, starting March 6th, that crowd level just, you know, jumps.
We're off to the races.
Yep. and I mean, the predictions I was looking at don't show anything lower than a 7 from March 6th through April 2nd.
Wow.
Right.
Yeah.
The numbers I looked at, it showed pretty much, in fact, even from that, March 7th through the March, almost all of them, a large majority of them are 9s and 10s. I won't say all of them, all of them, but
a lot of them.
A large majority of them are 9s and 10s. So we're not talking about just, you know, middle range and a little higher. We're talking, you know, hitting the charge. And of course, the problem with the crowd calendars, with touring plans and stuff is that there's only a 10. So everybody that's ever gone on Easter week knows if there was a 14 or a 15, that's probably what it would be.
The important thing to remember is that at least for touringplans.com, and I can't speak to all the calendars, that Touring Plans is the one I rely on most often. And, you know, it's first of all, it's a not a linear scale, right? It's a logarithmic scale. So 10 out of 10 is not just 1 point larger than 9 out of 10. It's an order of magnitude larger than 9 out of 10.
Exactly.
So that's important to remember. But the other piece to that is that, you know, as Brad was saying, with Easter late in March this year, March 27th, you get that confluence of the Easter week and a very, very popular spring break time there at the end of March all around the country. So, you know, calendars I'm looking at show me that you get a solid 10 out of 10 every day from Easter Sunday on the 27th through the end of March. And that's the kind of crowd you get, you know, between Christmas and New Year's.
And New Year's, yep. Yep.
It makes me glad that our spring breaks are actually another week or so after Easter this year.
Yeah. Oh, man.
So yours pushed back a little into April there?
Ours is usually like the first week in April, first, second week in April for the school districts in this area that we live in.
Nice.
Yeah, I'd heard a rumor ours was going to be in April. I was very excited because I was going to do a spring trip, and yeah, didn't work out that way. Tagged it right into Easter.
Yeah, so they actually moved ours earlier, which kind of was interesting to me. Ours starts third week in March. Mm-hmm. So we get back
a little better
right
not,
before Easter.
Not a lot better,
not much. And then
your 9s and 10s.
Yeah, and the other little bump that we may see, and this is one that most of the crowd calendars haven't really picked up on yet. But a couple of things to watch for. You know, we just got an announcement last week about the inaugural Star Wars half marathon, The Dark Side, for Walt Disney World.
Oh yeah,
and that's going to happen April 14th through 17th. So, you know, most of April is actually a much more moderate crowds, even, you know, substantially more moderate than March, for the most part. But I would not be at all surprised to see a bump, you know, for the Star Wars half there. And often that's a bump that affects the resorts more than it does the parks.
Right.
But, you know, I still think, especially with the special Star Wars theming and all the Star Wars stuff going on, you know, there will certainly be some impact at Hollywood Studios beyond what you would normally get. And, you know, we don't have anything to really compare this to because we haven't had this race in Walt Disney World. They've done a spring race before, I think. But it's not something that that's not my specialty. I don't know. Tony, you know any better than I do about had they had a spring race at Disney World previously?
I'm not sure. As a relatively new runner, I'm not 100% sure on that, Aaron. But I expect a huge bump is what I expect with that weekend and everything, that whole, like, the last half of that week.
Yeah, with it being the inaugural, it'll be crazy. But I don't remember a spring one. I remember, isn't the Princess one, like, February?
Right, yeah. Princess is in February, and so this may be the latest in the spring they've run a race, and so that's another issue maybe we'll take up among the runners about, you know, Disney racing into the spring and weather issues. But
it's going to be hot.
In terms of crowds, you know, I think we'll see a bump there. The other date to watch out for is you probably want to avoid May 15th. That's the projected closing date for Flower and Garden Festival, and there's often a big crowd bump just to catch the end
of the last couple
of the
days, they usually. Yeah, last weekend they go crazy. Yep.
So, you know, spring is a lot busier than it used to be, and it looks to me like your sweet spot is probably going to be that you know, 3 week period or so, or I'm sorry, about a 7 week period between April 3rd and May 14th. Right, where the crowds aren't, you're not going to get ones and twos like you occasionally get in January, February, but you're going to get more moderate crowds. They're going to peak at around a 7, which is manageable pretty readily.
Yeah,
I agree. Yeah, the only other option is maybe that very first week in March, if you can pull that off. But
right.
But it's got to be that once you hit the first, you know, that first Monday, that or that basically the second Monday, the 7th.
Yeah.
And Sunday the 6th, it's off to the races. And the danger with that is, over the years, you know, I'm sure you've noticed this too, using touring plans, as we get closer, those residual dates before and after a big run always tend to grow.
That's true. Those are our prime ones to be in, you know, to get updates.
Yeah, those are the ones that usually get, you know, get bumped a little bit. But yeah, the only danger with those who've not been there during that season is you start getting too far into May, I think it was just mentioned. I think Tony mentioned it. It's going to start getting hot.
Yeah. Well, and it starts to get harder to take kids out of school, too, because you're getting closer to finals and wrapping things up. And we should mention that, you know, I think much like the growth in the crowds in the fall have been driven by, you know, events around Walt Disney World with the Food and Wine Festival in the fall and with the Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party, you know, they're also beginning to drive crowds in the spring with special events. As Brad mentioned, Flower and Garden Festival has grown a lot and they've expanded the length of the festival. It runs now, the expected dates at least are March 2nd through May 15th. So the entire month of April and then, you know, most of the month of March and half of May.
All right. And they bumped, they've added in those food kiosk to me, that was their one of the biggest things they did because that really expanded the interest there. So it's similar to Food and Wine in that it has the same food kiosks, or I won't say the same, but it has a lot of food kiosks.
It has a lot, but not as many. So it definitely makes for a larger crowds.
Yeah, and I will say, having experienced them, when they first started doing, you know, bringing the food kiosks in as a bigger part of Flower and Garden, that they do a pretty good job of making it sort of a best of. I mean, it was all really quality stuff.
I think you and I both went that same year, if I remember right. It was, what, 2 years ago?
Yeah, I think so.
I think you were out there the same time I was, if I remember correctly.
Almost.
Yeah.
I think we missed
each
other
by like 2 days.
But, the bacon cupcakes. The highlight for me was the shrimp and grits. It was fantastic.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I'll tell you what, it'd make me go back to Flower and Garden just for that. That whole experience was great.
So that's the big signature event, but there's really more now going on at Walt Disney World in the spring. Some of it, you know, maybe you wouldn't pay attention to if it wasn't something that particularly caught your attention. But the other big one is that the Atlanta Braves do most of their spring training at Walt Disney World. They use the Wide World of Sports complex, and they're basically in residence there from March 4th till April 4th. They play spring training baseball games there. And, you know, I've had people who, you know, aren't Braves fans, but they'll check the schedule and see that, you know, their hometown team is playing against the Braves at Walt Disney World and schedule a trip around, you know, their baseball team playing a spring training game with the Braves, because it's a lot cheaper to watch a game there than it is to watch it in most major league stadiums. And, you know, after the game's over, you get to go hit a park.
Sounds good to me. I'm not a Braves fan, but I'd still love to go watch a game.
Right, right. And the prices are, you know, it's not dirt cheap. It's not, you know, $5, but they're pretty reasonable. So we got that, and that's going to take you from March 4th through April 4th. We mentioned the Star Wars Half Marathon weekend, April 14th through 17th. Then there are a few sort of single day things. You've got Cinco de Mayo on May 5th, which, you know, they just tend to you know, actually I was surprised. There is a crowd level bump in the crowd in the parks, but the you know, there isn't anything really special the Walt Disney World does for the most part, but, you know, La Cava does something special, and it seems to draw a crowd. And then May 8th is Mother's Day. There are always special Mother's Day dining things going on and things like that. Those usually don't get announced till the last minute, but they happen. And then here's one that we may want to talk about for just a little bit, because normally we would expect that Star Wars weekends would start on May 13th. Am I the only one who's maybe a little curious about whether we're going to get Star Wars weekends this year?
No, you're not alone. I've had several people that have asked me about it, and with the announcements of everything coming and with all the construction that's going to be starting early in the year, I don't know if they're going to do a full-blown Star Wars weekends like we've seen in the past few years. I've heard something about maybe something starting a little earlier in the year, something about the Force weekends or something
right
along those lines.
So they announced at D23 that they were bringing this new special event to both Walt Disney World and Disneyland called Season of the Force.
That's it.
And they announced that it would take place in early 2016. But they didn't give they haven't announced any dates. They didn't announce much about what would take place. I mean, we know that Hollywood Studios is going to get new fireworks for Season of the Force. We know that at Disneyland, they're going to do an overlay on Space Mountain, and they're going to get Hyperspace Mountain.
I'd ride that.
but beyond that, it's surprising to me that it's been, you know, almost a month since D23, and you know, usually there are leaks right and left coming out of Disney or coming out of Lucas about something Star Wars. But none of the sites have news. I mean, none of the Disney fan sites have anything. None of the Star Wars fan sites. Nobody has news about you know, Season of the Force. We don't know when it's going to be even.
Yeah, you know, that the fact that it's been so quiet, and normally, like you said, normally at least we have some rumblings. The thing about this, that the way that I'm kind of viewing it, is that I think it's going to be one of two things. It's either going to be these Force weekends, and they're going to do them in such a way that that's going to become kind of the replacement for that, or they've got something else they're working on, and they're keeping it completely under wraps until they can make a big splash announcement with it. But I got a feeling we're not going to see Star Wars weekend in the same model that we've had it in years past. That's my take on it. The fact that it's so quiet gives me the sense that something's going to change. Now, will it be those Force weekends, or will it be something, hybrid from what we've had in the past to something different? I mean, hopefully we'll find out soon.
Yeah. I mean,
Always away. So.
Right, right. And I fully expect that we're going to get something, you know, worth doing with Season of the Force in early 2016. I have to guess it's going to be January, just because, you know, February crowds have gotten much bigger of late. I don't see any reason for them to add an event in February. Although, theoretically, early 2016 could even mean that beginning of March that looks a little slow, so who knows? But, you know, sometime in there, and like I said, my guess is still we're going to be talking middle of January. You know, they'll plug it in between Marathon Weekend and the Martin Luther King Jr. holiday, if I had to guess. Don't have any basis for that, just informed speculation.
Yeah, if they're going to use it like they have in the past to try to build...
Exactly.
Build slower times. That totally makes sense.
Well,
because otherwise, like we've just been talking, that whole March and April thing is going to be nuts from start to finish already. And that's with no Star Wars included into that. So
right.
That would
and,
really
well,
make
let's
it.
Remember, though, let's remember, too, that The Force Awakens is coming out in December. In late December. So, you know,
sure.
January is a chance to give the film a long tail.
Yeah. Springboard off of it. Yep.
So
makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, that's why I would expect to see it there. But what that does mean is that if we don't see a Star Wars weekend in May, there is a pretty big sort of open space in terms of special events in the Disney calendar, because normally we would get Star Wars weekends in May, and then we'd get some sort of, you know, kick off the summer at the end of May. And so, you know, we'll see what happens with that. I guess what I would say is don't bank on booking a Star Wars weekends trip during the traditional Star Wars weekends time this year. I think that you run the risk of being disappointed. You know, either be prepared to have a vacation that you can enjoy without Star Wars weekends, which you should be able to do. There's plenty to do. But it may not have that particular special event, or, you know, plan on keeping your eyes peeled for the announcements on Season of the Force, and just be ready to jump and, you know, pull the trigger as soon as possible.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, that's why I say I think it's going to be a very much of a change this year. That's why it stands so quiet. So I agree. Anybody that's going off the old model, I think you're going to be disappointed if you're not careful.
Right. Right. All right, so let's turn our attention a little bit. We've been talking a lot about sort of schedules and timelines, and yeah, there are a couple of topics that I like to mention when we talk about these, you know, do these seasonal planning shows. And it's kind of silly, I guess, to some extent, because there's not necessarily a you know, great answer, but I'm always curious whether people have either, you know, restaurants or resorts that really they especially enjoy in various seasons. And it started obviously because there are certain resorts that I know people have favorites for during the holiday season, for the Christmas holiday. But, you know, I think it's worth thinking about in terms of other times of year as well. And so I guess, you know, Brad, I'll let you go first. I know that you're thankful for that gift. I'm going to ask you, you know, do you have any resorts in particular that are favorites of yours in the springtime?
I think probably mainly because if I was going to go in the springtime and I wasn't forced to go during spring break, you know, which I'm trying to avoid at all costs since it would be at Easter. I would be going because of Flower and Garden, because I so enjoyed that experience 2 years ago. And so with that in mind, you've already heard my lack of passion that's for Epcot, that it's just kind of waning for me. I still love it. I still go every year. I still can spend one or two days, but it's just becoming one of my least favorite parks. But with Flower and Garden, I'd say Beach Club, because okay. I have such quick and easy access into Epcot, because this is the time of year when I really think Epcot shines. And let me just say, it's not just the food at Flower and Garden. I personally really enjoy the other little things that are there with the topiaries and the butterflies and all of that. I enjoy all of that experience. So And I'm not a drinker, so to be honest, I'd do Flower and Garden before I'd do Food and Wine. So
okay.
That works for me. So I think I'd go Beach Club.
All right, all right. Yeah, and then those gardens really are gorgeous. I mean, you
know, they are. They're so pretty.
They're worth that spring visit. Yeah. All right, Tony, any resorts come to mind to you as sort of, you know, especially worth it in the spring?
Well, I was going to say pretty much the exact same thing because of Food and Wine and wanting in the proximity to Epcot, anywhere basically around Crescent Lake, whether it's Boardwalk or Beach Club or the two that I've stayed at on Crescent Lake so far. I'd take either one of them. It's not that far, of course. No, Beach Club is closer, but Boardwalk's still not too far of a walk around the lake there either. But
right.
And pretty much for the same reasons, because I do enjoy, you know, I do enjoy the topiaries, but I also enjoy a couple of adult beverages as well while I'm there too, and just being able to walk over when I or you know go back and rest for a while and cool off some, or go back to the park in the evenings. You know, I prefer, you know, I like Epcot in the springtime, definitely.
All right. Well, you know, for me, one that I think bears mentioning for springtime that maybe you wouldn't think about is, I'd say, Port Orleans French Quarter, just because I think the gardens there are really pretty and they would really shine in springtime. You know, you'll get things that are seasonal in bloom, and it'll be really attractive grounds there. And similarly, I think the Polynesian benefits in the spring the same kind of way. You just get brighter colors and you know, really lets the resort put its best foot, you know, its best face out there. And you know, you can really enjoy a view without paying for an upgraded view because the grounds are really gorgeous in the springtime.
Yeah, French Quarter is definitely on my bucket list. Because I'm DVC,
right?
You know, it's kind of eliminated a lot of those. I'm doing things a little different now, but so I'm getting able to try some of those other resorts that I wasn't able to do before. But I really want to try French Quarter. Everything I hear about that hotel is that it's just a phenomenal place. And I can see what you're saying. I've been through the resort, and I can just imagine that in the spring, now that you mentioned it, that would be a very beautiful area.
All right. Yeah. Yeah. And so that brings us to the second, you know, question, I guess, that I ask in this vein. And that is, you know, any restaurants that stand out for you, particularly in the spring? And I guess, Tony, I have to put you on the spot first this time.
Hey, thanks, man. Appreciate that. I'm trying to think of any that I can't think of any restaurants that just have like a seasonal menu of things in the spring to that particular time. Now, you know, I guess, you know, maybe if you were going in the spring around Mother's Day or something, I believe some of the restaurants have like special Mother's Day menus or something along those lines, I believe. But nothing really jumps right out at me. You know, maybe the crab is fresher in the spring at Cape May for their seafood buffet. I don't know. But and that's, you know, one of our family's favorites anyway, regardless of what time of year it is. So.
Okay. How about you, Rad? Anything come to mind that in particular?
I hate to go back to that, but my favorite thing food-wise would be the kiosks.
Fair enough.
Outside of that, I really enjoy the ones on the boardwalk, like Flying Fish, and those are excellent restaurants. So just with the proximity to where I'd be staying, that would probably be the place I'd go to. But yeah, I can't think of any place that really has any menu that's geared for that, other than what was mentioned about for Mother's Day. I know there are several Tony mentioned that right. They do. So,
well, there are a couple that I think, you know, spring gives them an opportunity to shine a bit. One would be The Wave at the Contemporary. You know, they always have
veggies and stuff.
Well, yeah, they have a very seasonal menu anyway. And, you know, getting the new sort of spring menu there, I think you get some interesting, really fresh, nice, you know, different things than you would get in the fall there. So I think it's one of the places that does a good job of capitalizing on their seasonal menu. And another one along similar lines is California Grill, just because I think that their menu lends itself well to those sort of brighter, fresher, you know, spring flavors. And so I think they, again, sort of exploit that well and are worth a you know, stop there in the spring, even if you've eaten there before at other times of year. kind of thing.
You know, that really does make a lot of sense, because the wave is, for those that have never been to the wave, you know, what Aaron was saying, that's the key. It's, they're big into fresh and seasonal. That is really the driving force of their menu. So,
right. Well, and a lot of organics.
That would definitely would kind of pop up. What's that?
And a lot of organics.
Yes, exactly. So, that would be a season where others would just kind of be the same. These guys would definitely step up their game.
And so I guess I'd turn it back over to you on the panel and ask whether you have any other sort of, you know, season-specific tips that you would give to people who are looking, you know, down the road at a spring Walt Disney World vacation.
Go for it, Tony.
Well, I would, you know, it's some things that have been covered already. You know, unless you just really have to be there at Easter for some of the special, you know, things they do, avoid it if you can, if there's any way possible. You know, there was a situation a couple years ago where we went where there was a discount that was offered, and it didn't start until a Tuesday check-in because Easter was on the Sunday, and then the Monday, you know, kind of the carryover from that. So we skipped, you know, we went down to Florida, visited a friend in Lakeland, and then drove over on Tuesday morning and checked in and got our, you know, like a 20% room discount because we chose not to spend Easter in Disney. But that's just one thing I would definitely do is try to avoid being there at Easter. Like you said, crowd levels of 14 or 15 instead of a 10 at that time. So,
well, and you make a good point that, you know, it's still a great time to be traveling in Florida. So, you know, it's a nice opportunity maybe to spend that crazy weekend at a place where the impact of that crowd might affect you less. You know, take in one of the beaches or, which are, you know, they're going to be crowded too, but you're not going to be in line for attractions. So, you know, take in a beach, go to the, you know, one of the other attractions like the Space Center or something like that, during the craziest of the, you know, peak crowds, and then head over to Walt Disney World as things there cool off a little bit in terms of crowd level.
Yep. Sounds good.
So, Brad, any tips or tricks about spring that you would add?
Yeah. But you actually took part of what I was going to say, and that's that split trip is a great idea because you can enjoy the beaches. It's a great time of year to go. The weather-wise, it's probably the best time to be in Florida, or definitely one of the best. You don't quite dealing with the rain yet. Your temps are real good. The only other tips I would mention, though, yes, avoid and to Tony's point, you know, I've been to Disneyland and Disney World for Thanksgiving, the week of Thanksgiving and the week after, right around that area. And you know what? There's crowds there, but I don't mind them because there's such a change to the park and there's so many new added features because they're already putting in the Christmas holiday stuff and there's so much to experience that you'll put up with the crowds. I think to the point that Tony was saying, Easter, they really don't do much to highlight the holiday. And so why, unless you have to, why deal with those crowds? But I would give the standard tips that we agents give to our clients all the time. If you go a busy time of year, it's the standard stuff. Arrive early, Fast Pass Plus early. Keep in mind you're going to have to do your dining early. You really should be thinking, and if you're going in March, you should be thinking ahead and planning yourself out ahead. And as Aaron said, book early, because you can always, with a good agent, you can always switch to whatever discount comes out. Don't wait till the end. And I would also recommend that, you know what, if choose your dining efficiently. That's this time of year, sometimes you can get so bogged down with some of the dining that you waste so much time. Sometimes when it's busy like that, that's when I say, okay, I'm not going to do a lot of sit-down meals. I'm just going to do a lot of counter service. There's some great counter service at Disney World if you pick the right places. And you can just save so much time and not waste them in being tied down into those bogged-down areas. But you just got to go with the mindset. This is I believe they say, Aaron, this is the second busiest time of the year is Easter?
Yeah, generally speaking, it's the second highest crowd peak.
Yeah, so, I mean, and now with spring break dovetailing into it and then basically kind of melding together, you're just going to have to approach that middle part of March to the end of March with a sense that it's going to be extremely full and busy and just plan accordingly.
Yeah, and I do want to note, too, before we completely, you know, scare everybody away for Easter, if that is important to you, if that's the time you can travel because that's when you can get off, you know, because you have to travel when schools are out or something like that, you know, you should be aware they do make Easter services available for people for whom that's important. They generally have used the convention ballroom space at the Contemporary, and they publish a schedule. You know, I don't want to try and do it off the top of my head here because it can change, but they do run at least two, and I think I've seen as many as three or four, you know, vary somewhat year to year, but, you know, a number of alternative Easter services for different denominations. So if that is something that's important to you, you should be able to find a service that you can be comfortable with, you know, pretty readily accessible to you.
Yeah, that's a good point. And I do appreciate that you said it because we don't want people to think, like I said, I've been there during Thanksgiving week and that's an extremely busy time too. If you go in with the right, you manage your expectations and you go in knowing what to expect and you just trim out the things that will burn up too much. You can have it will be busy and yes, the crowds will be there, but you can have a great time. You don't have to be miserable and say, I wasted my money there. You can do crowds at Disney World effectively if you plan ahead.
Agreed.
It's not someplace I would send somebody on, like a week I would want somebody there for their first trip.
Not for their first, no.
Because
it would be their last. They would say, oh my gosh, never again. Oh,
but again, like we've been saying, you know, what it does is emphasize the importance of planning in advance. And that's why we're doing this show now, because, you know, get this out there now and you're going to be within your 180 days. You got a couple of weeks to get booked, to get yourself in there so that you can get that first crack at dining reservations. You can be already thinking about FastPass Plus times and be ready to go for your 60 days out. And you know, you'll be way ahead of the game. Because one of the things that I've noticed over the last couple of years is that Easter week is one of the reasons that the crowds peak for that week is you get a lot of people who travel down to Florida to be with family for the Easter holiday. And while they're there, figure, as long as we're here,
yeah, sure,
we'll go spend a day at the Magic Kingdom. Okay, these are the people that are the reason that a Magic Kingdom ticket is, whatever, $4 more than a ticket to any other park. Because this is what they do.
That's it.
Right. And then they run around because they're trying to do it all in one day.
Yep. And they're doing it the last minute, and they're showing up, you know, to do one day in the parks on, you know, Saturday before Easter or on Easter Sunday. And, you know, it's really tough to have that be your first Walt Disney World experience and enjoy it. But if that's one piece of a vacation that you're going to plan over a few days and you've got time to plan it in advance and you get to make your reservations in advance and all of that, it's manageable. You just don't want to be that person who the week of Easter says, well, gee, as long as we're there.
Exactly. Yeah, not a good time of year for off-the-cuff trip planning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you know, you've heard our thoughts on spring travel to Walt Disney World. We'd love to hear from you. You can email us at podcast@dizdads.com. You can visit our blog, dizdads.com. Tweet us at dizdadspodcast on Twitter. And participate in the discussions in our forums at boards.dizdads.com. We're also on Facebook at facebook.com/dizdadspodcast. Until next time, I've been Aaron Rittmaster with Brad Coates.
Take care, everybody.
And Tony McDaniel.
Good talking to you. Good night, guys.